Shalom. Praise the Mighty Yah. Honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. I say hallelujah. Let me say shalom to everyone once again on this great, glorious day, evening, for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in which this is the reason for the season. Apologize for our tardy. It is Moray Isha's fault. But we forgive him because it won't happen. It won't happen again. But let us pray the Mighty Yah prayer. Let us rise. Universe, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael. Thy servants humbly come before thee this great and glorious day, this evening. A night according to thy word, Almighty Yah, must be, and we here to observe thy great words and fulfill thy desires. Today, Almighty Yah, that you will bless us with thy holy, righteous spirit, that we might understand our ways. Truly, Almighty Yah, even righteous. You have even strengthened us, Almighty Yah, even all the way into this very we pray, Almighty Yah, that you will be with us, not help us to understand our truth. And we worship you, Yah, from this time forth and forevermore. I say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Almighty Yah. Yah is righteous. And I praise Almighty his diligent servants when the rain that they going to serve the Mighty Yah, hallelujah. They're here, they're dedicated. And so they will get what they came for, and that is the word of Yah. Of course, as many of you all know, we may not be as long as last week, but tonight is just as, tonight is just as important, or maybe even more important than even last night. Of course, last night was the Passover. And we talked about the Passover, how the Passover freed our people. Delivered our people, even in Egypt, even from the bondage of Egypt, of Israel, whether they were good or bad, every house of the children of Israel was delivered, as long as they followed the instructions that the Creator gave them, as we read last night. They put the blood on the doorposts, on the lintels. They were in a house all night long, did not come out until the morning. They bit herbs, lamb, or goat. With unleavened bread. And the death angel, and the Most High did not allow the death angel to enter because of the blood, but it destroyed and killed the firstborn of Egypt. Now, a lot of people might say, well, why did he kill the firstborn in Egypt? But you don't have to fret because he didn't just kill the firstborn. He killed the whole army at the Sea of Reeds, or the Red Sea, in which most people know it as today. And we're going to read about that because, as I stated before, our houses were delivered on the 14th day at evening or at night, in the middle of the night, when the devil angel came through on tonight. These people were delivered out of the whole house of bondage. And let's turn to some scriptures, because this particular scripture right here, it is up how the Creator felt about his glorious work on that night that we are memorializing as we speak. And you'll read it in the book of Exodus 12. Once you get Exodus 12, we're going to read the 40th verse. Start at the 40th verse, rather. Everybody get it?
Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years.
430 years, that's Egypt. And we're gonna be dealing with that, because every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And he admonished us and said, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And we can prove beyond doubt that what Yah said is true, that the children of Israel stayed in Egypt 330 years. Now, the only way you can think what he said is true, you might even know what he said is true, but can you establish what he said is true? And Yah showed us how to establish that what he said is true. Continue reading.
Came to pass at the end of the 430 years, the same day.
Did we skip something? Oh, no, that's right. Continue reading.
Even the self same day, it came to pass that all the host of Yah went out from the land of Egypt.
In other words, to some, it might even sound a little victory, because it says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day it came to pass that all the hosts went out from the land of Egypt. In other words, not 431. Not 429, but 430 years exactly. Now, the part that might sound a little contradictory is what we're about to read. And this is what it says. Go ahead.
It is a night to be much observed.
I thought you all believed that the day started in the morning, and a day means light. So if they went out on the self same day, 430 years later, what's the night for? Well, that when the Creator said we went out we were sojourning in Egypt 430 years, and that self same day, the day that he was talking about is the 15th day. See, the word day, it means light. And the only date that is connected to any date is the light. But there's a revolution that has to take place from one day to another day. And until that happens, you still just have, in this particular case, the 15th day. and the 16th day did not come in before this 430 years of journey had ended. Once it ended, then another day started, and you'll be able to see that as we continue to read. But it says, it is a night to be much observed. Go ahead.
Unto Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt.
And we know this day was the 15th. Hey, they what? They went out of Egypt. They didn't go out. As a matter of fact, on the 4th, they were told not to go out of their house. But on the 5th, they went out of Egypt, and they went out at night. Now, this is so important because, read that one more time in the 42nd verse.
It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out.
It says it is a night to be much observed unto who?
Yahweh.
Unto Yah. That's why I'm curious, where's all the people at? If this is a night to be much observed unto Yah, where they at? Did not they read this? Is not this the book of law? Is this not his word? If this is the night that much, I can see why we should be observing this. This is the night we came out of Egypt. This is the night Yah did his wonders. This is the night that Yah did something that had never been seen before. There's too many things to talk about tonight to skip this night. This is the night that you don't want to sleep, because this is the night that our people didn't sleep. They stayed up all night, leaving what? Egypt. And do you realize, of course, I've been doing this for a long time, been teaching about 27 years, and I hadn't found not one Israelite organization, Israelite group, Knesset, congregation, other than the ones that's affiliated with us, that observe this night. None. None. And we'll talk about why, but people seem to forget this night, how important it is. But you're going to see today how important this night is to Yah. Whether you think it's great or not, Yah does think it's great. Go ahead.
This is that night of Yahweh to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generation.
How many of the children of Israel? In their what? And see, this is how you establish a truth. The scriptures say, many lessons know that all truths are consistent. Moray Elisha told us this, years ago. And he said, all truths is consistent. And look just in this first, the 42nd, how many times you see the word night? Ain't that how you establish your truth? And the token he gave us to let us know, to help us to remember, to recall, to memorialize this great night. See what day this was on, actual calendar date this was on. Go to the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. I'm sorry, Numbers, the 33rd chapter. Numbers 33. And what are we discussing? What are we talking about? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're talking about one of the greatest Israel should be observing at night. Observe and Day of Atonement and Sabbath day, but for some strange reason that the Most High took our people out of Egypt. Israel even deserved things that Almighty never mentioned out of his mouth, such as celebration. Never read that. But the night that Yah do want you to observe, nobody observes it. But we do. And I want you to see why. And we're going to start reading at the very first verse. Now, many Israelites around the country, they would say, well, we do observe it. We observe it on the 14th at evening. Well, that's the Passover. That's not the night that the Most High liberated us from Egypt. The night he liberated our houses and delivered our houses. But watch this. Numbers 33:1.
These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moshe and Aharon. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of Yahweh. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians.
So it don't take a rocket scientist to know that they left Egypt. See, a lot of people in Jewish. At the Passover was at 14 at evening, and as soon as it got dark, that was tomorrow after the Passover. Well, you ain't even ate the Passover lamb yet. You ain't even roasted it yet. All you did was killed it at 14 that evening. You Passover. So how's that going to be tomorrow after the Passover, and you ain't even cooked the Passover yet? Matter of fact, there was no Passover yet. Over yet. Don't the angel got the Passover? Don't you got to eat the lamb? Don't you got to roast the lamb? Don't you got to do all these things to call it a Passover? But they say tomorrow. That's not tomorrow after Passover. Because no days start at night. They start. The day starts when it gets light. The greater light shall rule the what? And the lesser light rule the what? And I believe it. I believe it. So this was on the 15th, the morrow after the Passover. Went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. In other words, they didn't go out of Egypt on the 15th, but that morning when they began their journey, they went all through Egypt. And by the time they got to that Red Sea, as we're going to read, now it's evening. They went through the sea all night long. And watch what this says. Go beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was indeed that they went out of Egypt. Joshua, the fifth chapter. That every matter be established by two or more witnesses. In the book of Joshua, the fifth chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 10th verse.
And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho.
And you'll never read them eating Passover. Every date have what they call a portion, and every date has a night portion. So the 14th started in the morning, but it ain't going to end until the morning comes again. So it has to go through a night. Every day. land, they kept the Passover.
They did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover.
And what did they eat the morrow after the Passover?
Unleavened cakes.
And what do we supposed to eat the morrow after the Passover? And parched corn in that self same day. And then in the 12th verse, and what day is the 15th? Because the 15th comes. What is more after we ate the 11th? The 16th. That is correct. So now we're dealing with the 14th, which was the Passover, the 15th, and then you got the 16th when the manna was. That is correct. The 16th. You read that. Matter of fact, we're going to read that in the book of read that 12th verse again.
On the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year.
Yes. So we had the 14th, we had the 15th, and we had the 16th. And the Creator let us know each one of those dates. And then it lets us know in the book of Exodus 16, because right now all we're doing is establishing the fact that we went out of Egypt. The morrow after the Passover, and the morrow after the Passover is the 15th. And the Passover is the 14th. And after the unleavened bread, which the manna ceased. But when did the manna even arrive? Watch what this says. In the book of Exodus 16, now I can assure you, by the time we're finished, you're going to be a master. You're going to be a master with numbers. Because I'm going to throw so many numbers at y'all, your head going to be spinning. But you're going to be a master at numbers. And you'll be able to hear numbers you already know. You'll be so good. Like, for instance, this is how good you're going to be. Why, the first Sabbath was on what day, Isha?
Third day.
It should just come like, boom. Our people went into the wilderness. They built the temple when? Solomon built the temple when?
Fourth year.
That's right. What day? Right. Right? Second day of the month. It was the second.
The third day.
See, you'll get it because these numbers, these dates, they're important. Why are they important? Because they the word of Yah. Watch this. Exodus 16. The Creator lets us know in the first verse. Go ahead.
And they took their journey. Out of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt.
Now they departed first. No. The second month, after departing out of Egypt, that's what it says.
And the whole time murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. land of the house, and when we did eat bread to the full, you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, who rain bread from heaven for you. Go and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that Yahweh hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of Yah, for that he heareth your murmurings against Yahweh. And what are we that ye murmur against us?
Mm-hmm.
And Moses said, this shall be when Yahweh shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, that Yahweh heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yah.
So the Almighty let them know that in the morning they were going to get bread, in the evening they were going to get flesh. Now, he told them with this bread, though, that they're going to get in the morning, that they had to gather this how many days? And then it said on the sixth day, as much, right? Now, Yah is saying, in the morning when it's, and they had to do 6 days, got twice as much on the sixth day, what do you think that morning was? Was it the first day? Yeah, the day of the week. So the first day had to be, you're absolutely correct. It had to be the first day of the week. It had to be. Because you gather in 6 days for a reason. It had to be. And so since this was the first day of the week, and the day before that, what was the date? The 15th. Because that's when they went into the wilderness of sin. So that first day had to be the what? The 16th day that the manna, Yah gave our people manna, was the 16th of the second month in the first year. Is that correct? On the 16th, 40 years later. It don't take a while. No, if you do 16 to the 16, 1 year, the 16 to the next 16, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and all the way 40 years later, this is how you count. And he said he would do it for 40 years. And he did it for 40 years. Furthermore, to let you know in this, that 15th was indeed, because if that day was the 16th when that morning came, and it was the first day of the week, that automatically means that that 15th of the second month was what day of the week? Right, the Sabbath day. It had to be the Sabbath day when they went into the wilderness of sin. That's the next day of the week. Then 7 days later was another what? Well, it's true. If you look at the same chapter, Exodus 16, that's what it says, 22nd verse.
And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yahweh. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that ye will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither were there any worm therein. And Moses said, "For today is a Sabbath unto Yahweh. Today you shall not find it."
He said, "Today is a Sabbath unto Yahweh. You're not going to find it because Yahweh worked on the Sabbath day. He do just like us. He rests on the Sabbath day. So if that was the Sabbath day, 7 days later, for that date, 15, where it started. But where did it end? Where he said they gathered twice and they don't lay that up for tomorrow because today is the Sabbath." That's correct. The 22nd. The 22nd. Because all you did was go 7 days later. That's it. And show you how beautiful that is. Because, once again, that's why you got to always, y'all always tell our people, Remember this. Watch this. What was the date of the very first Sabbath? That's right. Third day of the month. That is correct. The very first Sabbath. Now watch this. Right now, in the book of Exodus 16, we're reading about the Sabbath, and it was on the 22nd of the second month. The Sabbath before that, when they went into the wilderness of sin, it was the 15th of the second month. The Sabbath before that automatically had to be the 8th of the second month, which automatically means that the Sabbath before that had to be the 1st, which automatically means that now you're going into the first month, which had to be the 24th day of the first month. The Sabbath really means that it should be what day? 17th. And the Sabbath before that had to be the what? Of the first month. And the very first Sabbath of the first month is the what? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a mathematician. But y'all, word is perfect. All the Sabbaths line up. If you don't know nothing else, you line up all the Sabbaths. And that's, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to line up the Sabbaths because the Sabbaths are just 7 days apart. They're just 7 days apart. And you will know all of Yah's Sabbaths, every last single one of them. What's more important than Yah's Sabbath? How can you even know Yah without knowing Yah? Well, we're talking about, and I just want you all to see that because we're going to get a real dose of how Yah calendar works. And the beautiful thing is that it's nothing that nobody has to invent. It's right here in the book. You just read it. It's scriptures that you. You will see it because he already had the dates. All we have to do is understand what he's telling us. That's it. And you're going to see that very first date. That was on the third of the first month. And only the third of the first month is because the very first moon, the very first sun, the very first stars was made on the fourth day. And from that time, 30 days later, 12 months a year, you will find out all the various dates that Yah put in the scriptures. You can verify all of them. Exodus 14, turn there. Night be much observed. And I'm trying to figure out why people ain't observing this night. I don't even know. Observe it tonight and realize how important it is. July the 4th. You knew that real quick, man. You celebrate this. Oh, a social study to you. All right. July the 4th. And they're not going past that date. That date is going to be what? It's going to be much observed. They're gonna close up stuff and they're gonna get drunk. They're gonna get drunk and they're gonna shoot fireworks and they're gonna have a big celebration. But independence, yeah, crickets. That's all you hear is crickets. Going at the 15th verse.
Thou up thy
Red Sea. In other words, just to give you a backdrop, they're at the Red Sea right now. They're scared because the Almighty told them he brought them out with a mighty and stretched out arm. In other words, the Creator wasn't here on earth with them. He just stretched out his arm with a mighty, with his mighty. They didn't have out of Egypt. They didn't have some mercenaries that led them out of Egypt. And here they encamp at the Red Sea, the sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army behind them. Go ahead.
But lift thou up thy rod and stretch it out, and hide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Mm-hmm. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them.
Now, stop right there for a second. Did y'all understand the 15th verse? Read that 15th verse again. I meant to emphasize this. Read that again.
And Yahweh said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou?
Sign unto me. Go ahead.
Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward.
In other words, I already told you, man. I gave you the staff. I gave you the power. I gave you everything. Don't cry to me, man. Put that staff up and go forward. But go back to where you were.
Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh. And honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of Elohim, which went before them, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. The camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night.
All the night. None. Did you have one on this side, another one on this side? They never clashed. They never collided. They never integrated. And for the Egyptians, it was straight up light. But for the children of Israel, it was straight up what? Light. Even though they was traveling at what? At night. Go ahead.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by strong at night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided.
And look how many times it's going to say tonight.
A wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued in the midst of the all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horses. Came to pass that in the morning watch Yahweh looked unto the whole Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians.
And it says, it came to pass that in the morning watch, it means right before this light began to totally break through, it ain't came in yet. In other words, they called it the morning watch. It wasn't yet morning. It wasn't yet day. It was just the morning watch. And a lot of times when people get up on Sabbath day and they see that light breaking in, oh my goodness, it's the Sabbath day. No, it's just the morning watch. You got to see that light come in, and when that light comes in, it comes in from the east. And it's traveling time until the morning watch. It still ain't day, because you still got, on this side, is what? It's night. And it ain't even reached them yet. They can't even say, man, it's a blessed Sabbath, because Sabbath day, because it ain't even came all the way in. It's just the morning watch. And then that light just comes in across the sky, and now it's what? And right now, they just seen the morning watch. It ain't even caught, it hadn't even caught the children of Israel, but it's catching the Egyptians. Go ahead.
And it came to pass that in the morning watch, Yah looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for Yahweh fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared,
well, now it's not the morning watch. The morning what?
Appeared.
It's here now. It's here. Go ahead.
And the Egyptians fled against it, and Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them.
Not so much as one of them. Go ahead.
But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the thus Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which Yahweh did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared Yah and believed Yah.
And this was something to believe, because they watched this with their own eyes. They seen this go down. They seen the left hand a wall. A sea on the right hand a wall. And they walked right through it like it was nothing. No water at all touched them. At all. No wonder Yah said, this is a night to be much observed. All night long, you should be up reading this to your children, teaching this to your family, showing them the greatness of Yah and how he delivered and saved the children of Israel. Talk about this. And who observed that night? Well, this is that night. And watch what it says and let you know that it is that night. Look at the book of Deuteronomy 16. In the book of Deuteronomy,
observe the month of the Yahweh the Elohim.
Stop right there. A lot of our people observe the month of Abib. They think that means go look for some Abib. Go search for some Abib. No, it don't mean that at all. It's only one reason why the word Abib is even mentioned in the scriptures. You about to know why. Read that one more time.
Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh thy Elohim brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt by night.
That's the only reason you were Abib that month. This is the only reason he gave that month a name, because he already knew what he was going to do for the children of Israel. And he didn't want nobody to be confused what month to observe this night. So he said, observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto Yahdah Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yah brought thee out of Egypt by what? By night. By night. And that's why this month is so vitally important. Continue reading. Now, and of course, as you all know, how could they even look? He was in the wilderness for how long? For 40 years. But they still can observe this night. That's the only way I knew the month of Abib. If that's the case, then why would Yah tell them to observe something? And what's in the desert? Just imagine. And we're going to get to it. The scriptures say we neither ate bread or what? Or drunk wine or strong drink. You get some Abib, you can have some strong drink, you can have some wine, and you can have some bread. And you can go to town with some Abib. And our people, with some Abib in their hands, you're going to have some golden calves, because you can go to town with some Abib. But no, they didn't have no Abib. They didn't have Abib because something else had to happen. Go ahead, second verse.
Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim of the flock and the herd in the place which Yahweh shall choose, the place's name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life.
So what do you do today, all the days of your life? Eat on the period. And not only you. They don't have to remove no. Well, what is the token of the covenant that he made with Abraham, that land belonged to us? If we didn't have that token, if that sign was meaningless, then anybody in that land, the Ishmaelites said, "This is the land. Where's your sign? Where's your token?" They don't believe in circumcision. Muslims don't believe in no circumcision. The Quran don't teach them to be circumcised. Christians, that's our land. He walked this land, and he was hung on a cross. All right, where's your sign? Did not Paul say circumcision profit what? They don't believe in no circumcision. Said, get that land? No, that's us. It's the only people in it, and it's ties down to. And here, our sign to let for us to remember that Yah, because what is this bread going to do? What is so significant about a piece of bread that don't rise, that will have us to think, my goodness, Yah brought us out of the land of Egypt. What's so important about some bread that wouldn't rise, that wasn't. And with this bread will bring you right back to, my goodness, look what happened that day. And then we walked all night. And we had to have our staff in our head, clothes, shoes on our feet, ready to what? We had to be ready to go. This bread signifies the fact that when you eat it, and when you eat real unleavened bread, it signifies to you, my goodness, man, this is the bread of what? Affliction, man. We got to eat this every day this week? We got to eat this for 7 days? Can I put some honey on it, some jelly on it? What can I do? Because, my goodness, this is what happened for 7 days? And as soon as you eat it the first day, the second day, you looking for some what? Some leavened bread. You looking for some. And y'all knew you was going to look. So he said, get rid of all of it for how long? So he don't even want you looking. You looking, but it's all what? It's all gone. It's all gone. And watch this. Continue reading.
Verse 4. With thee in all thy coasts, 7 days.
And how many of your coasts? From coast to coast, from border to border. They got rid of this. Shalem asked me the other day, so how did they get rid of the leaven? Did they get rid of it? They wasn't like us preserving everything, got jars everywhere and a bunch of, you know, deodorants and soaps, and they just got all kind of preservatives and leavening agents in it. No, they cooked their food every day. They made their food every day. And they knew how to preserve things, but it typically was preserved through salt and things like that. And so they didn't have to wait like that. And when you're making things like that, you don't have to wait. And because you might ask yourself, you know, the Jewish people today, you know, the two main products of the Jewish community, the two main products, two ways where they really actually, these two things, these go by ancient. The modern Jewish person now, they own banks and the financial institutions, but they weren't always owning the financial institutions. That came later on. The financial and what were they? Bakers. They owned all the bakery shops. And they owned all the meat shops. They were the original butchers. This was their two main things in their community. And so all these during the time of Feast of Unleavened Bread, you think they throwing stuff away? No, they ain't throwing nothing away. No, they'll close them down for 7 days. Some of them that's real orthodox, but they ain't going in these business throwing away yeast and all that. No, they ain't throwing nothing away. Yeah, exactly. And those don't get closed down. Yeah, yeah. In other words, the Jewish people, they don't work, and they take off. But them breweries still going, and there is no malt liquor without barley. That's it. There is none. They got it. They got it in it. And so, but this was their two main. The question, Shalem, is for them. What do you do with the leaven? We know what we do. Also, in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, right there. Because the main things we went over thus far is the fact that it is the night to be much observed. And also, we have to eat this leavened bread in our generations to remember that in haste, you know. And look what it says in Exodus 12.
7 days shall you eat leavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
Even the first day you shall put away leaven.
Mm-hmm.
For whosoever eateth leavened bread.
That's what Elder Yael was talking about. The first day you shall put it out of your houses. And the first day is the morrow after the Passover. So that's why you're not in error when you do. Read that again.
7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day.
Even the first day to the 7 day. Go ahead.
Be a holy convocation.
And if we were in Jerusalem, we would have a holy convocation in Jerusalem.
In the 7th day, there shall be a holy convocation.
And we should. We will have a holy convocation if we was in Jerusalem on the 7th day, because this is where they had the for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on the 1st day, they had a holy convocation. And on the 7th day, they had a holy convocation. Today, we don't have those holy convocations because it's done in where? In Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to show you that. All we can do is what they went to Jerusalem. Before they went to Jerusalem, what did they have to do? They had to get all the leaven out of their what? Yeah, because, see, the Almighty didn't want you leaving leaven at your house and then come to Jerusalem act like you keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Man, you got leaven all in your cupboards, man. What you doing? I clean up because I had to hurry up and leave in haste to get to Jerusalem. Man, no, you better keep it the 2nd month. Because you can't keep it this month. Really, he couldn't keep it the 2nd month because there is no 2nd month for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Yes, sir. Oh, no. No, that's a Jewish tradition. And the question to the listening audience, the elder asked me about, do you have to look for the Abib in order for you to determine when your days are, your months are, your years are? Well, if you did, y'all would have said that. See, the Almighty told us, he said, let these lights be for what? He said, let the lights be for these things. If Noah looked for barley when he was in that ark for 5 months. He was in there more than 5 months. But it rained and came out to what? 7 months. And they hit the dates. Did he have to look for that? No, he didn't have to look for that. Abib is going to happen just like the grass withered and the grass what? In other words, the grass come at the same time every year. I know we're a little confused today when grass comes because now they got this all-weather grass and all-winter grass and all types of grass because they done did some scientific experiments. But no, naturally, grass, what? It dies. And you don't have to look for grass to come because you already know when it's going to come. It's going to come when? In the spring, like clockwork. You don't have to look for a tree to bloom. It's going to bloom at clockwork. Well, if a tree blooms at clockwork, the grass blooms when it's supposed to bloom, then our bee gonna come when it's supposed to come. Why would we have to search for something when everything else, out of all the things in the world, you think, oh, Molly, just think about this, will give us one item. And I'm glad you said that. Even with the moon, here we is. For years, we went looking for the new moon. This crazy. And we did everything to look for it. If we got to get on a bridge, if we got to get on the top of the house, if we got to climb a tree, whatever we had to do, this is what we did. And after climbing that tree, and after getting on the top of the house, after parking on a bridge to see where this moon will come in, and we waiting, and we waiting, and you know what we see? Clouds. Clouds. And then we got on the phone, and then we called the next city. Did you see it? And then what happened? What was we left with? What we was left with, well, let's see what happened tomorrow. Well, I mean, either it's going to be today or tomorrow. What, I mean, this, it was tomorrow. It comes. Well, there it is, there it is. Well, how do we know it didn't come yesterday? It was just cloudy. We don't know if it came yesterday. We don't know. And some days, we look, it didn't come. Next day, we still didn't see it. And then we still didn't see it the third day. And then the fourth day. And then the fifth day. Because it was cloudy every day. And then we seen it. But we had to automatically assume that, well, it came 30 days later. Because we didn't see it none of those days. Seen it, and another city didn't see it. And so in the city that said they didn't see it, it was clear. And we didn't see it, man. It was crystal clear here, man. No clouds. Then another city said, well, we seen it. And so we were all just, and we said, my goodness. You go by the new moon in Jerusalem. But the problem with that is, we had to count on other people to see it. And they would take little cute pictures of it and put it on the internet, you know. And then we used to always wonder, well, did they see it? Or did they see it with these high beams? Binoculars or telescopes that they have. And they'll tell you, they use, sometimes they have to use the telescopes. You know, they'll tell you. We had to count on them. Sometimes it was cloudy or it was too many inconsistencies in the states. And when you look up Texas and say, we seen it. And they would see it. And Jerusalem didn't see it. But they seen it in Texas. Or Arizona seen it. But Jerusalem didn't see it. Or parts of Africa seen it. But Jerusalem didn't see it. And so we were torn. We said, man, they seen it in Arizona. They even showing you the picture of it in Arizona. Well, we don't go by Arizona time. We go by Jerusalem time. But it's still a new moon. It was, I'm telling you what we over the course, because we just didn't have the knowledge. And the scriptures say, my people are destroyed for what? Yes, ma'am. And when you ask people that, they have no answer for it. Jerusalem. And, well, our people went by that being in Egypt. In other words, when the Almighty gave this commandment, they were in Egypt. They weren't in Jerusalem. They were in Egypt. And not one time did you see our people searching for Noabi. It was just the name of the just the name of the month. It's the only month that has a name. Just like the only day that has a name is what? The Sabbath. Just like the only year that has a name is a what? It's only one year that has a name. The Sabbath year. The year that has, yeah, the 7 year is the Sabbath of the He didn't name this month for us to recognize the moon. He named this month to recognize the Abib. He named it because he wanted the night. That is the night that Yah brought us out of Egypt. That's why he named it. And if you really watch this, Passover is on the 14th, right? Well, if you look at the very first moon, sun, and stars, what day? The fourth day. And then, of course, 7 days later, you'll be back right where? The fourth day, right? And then 14 days later, you'll be right where? Right at the fourth day, which was the very first Passover, which was the very first sacrifice the Creator did with our people. And what do seven represent? Completion, holy, set apart. That's why the Passover was set apart. And then next thing you know, the very next day was and what do the fifth represent? Increase. Because I said, man, if you borrow from me, you gotta pay back a what? A fifth part. And a fifth, which is five, on the fifth, Yah's increase. And look what happened tomorrow after the Passover. What happened? All of the children of Israel went out of Egypt and what? Now, if that's not an increase, I don't know what an increase. An increase is when you're getting a lot at one time, a bunch at one time. And y'all gonna see this. But let's read this real. Say that again. Yeah, in other words, we borrowed all the jewels and everything, spoiled the Egyptians, and we went out rich. And how are we gonna leave this land? Yeah, even though there's a lot of people trying to leave the land before they even get the money. They said, we out of here, man. We gone, man. We got to get out of here now. All right. Get with you. All right. I would just wait for Yah. I wait to get paid. Right here. Get paid. And then I'm leaving. But I ain't going no day earlier, no day late. I'm waiting till I get paid. Y'all said we're going to go out with what? He didn't just say substance. He said what? Great substance. And I'm waiting. And watch this. We had still Exodus 12. Go ahead.
Verse 16. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. Oh, we read that verse.
17 verse.
Verse 17. Ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by ordinance forever.
Armies out. And you'll understand each day. I was talking to my wife today about how everything is just interconnected. So if you learn that the Sabbath day is holy, the Sabbath day is complete, the Sabbath is the day of rest. The Sabbath is sanctified. The Sabbath is blessed. And you learn all these things, everything connected with the Sabbath, you're going to find out it's the same thing, whether it's the seventh month, the seventh year, or the seventh day. Look at the 7 year. The 7 year is a what? Do you realize the amount of holy days and holy things that goes on in a 7 year? And you know when in the 7 year, do you know when all these things happen? In the 7 year? In the 7 month. In the 7 month. You already got four holy days, the Sabbath, the Day of Atonement, the blowing of the trumpets, and the Feast of Tabernacles. That's four by itself. And then the Almighty threw three more in there. And what did he throw in there? Year release. That has to be done in the 7 month, in the 7 year. Then what else he throwing there? The reading of the law, which takes place in the Feast of Tabernacles. prophet had to be read in the Feast of Tabernacles. And then he threw one more in. What was that? Y'all don't know what that is? Huh? You're right, but it was the, he blew the horn of Jubilee in the 7th month on the day for all the people to be released. That event that took place in the 7th month, there is no other month like this. Why did they do it in the 7th month? And why did they do it in the 7th year? Because that's when you complete everything. Isn't that when all your sins is washed away? Isn't that when you bring all your fruits in? Isn't that when you blow the horn? Because there is no more holy meeting except for the Sabbath day after the 7th month that you're calling the people from everywhere. Because everything come to a completion. Why do you blow the horn of Jubilee in the 7th month? Because now everybody returning back to their what? And their inheritance. When do you release the manservant and the maidservant? In the 7th month. Because that's the end of the what? End of the year. So everything comes to completion. Everything is sanctified. Everything is blessed. Why? Just because of 7. Just because 7. What happened in the 6th year? Didn't he say in the 6th year, it shall be, in the 6th year, I'm going to command my blessing, and then the fruits and the trees, it shall be 3 times what? As much fruit in the 6th year. Didn't he say on the 6th day, I'll give you how much bread? Double in the bread, twice as much bread. On the 6th day, and female. And he told them, he blessed them and told them to be what? No wonder the fruits is quadrupled in the 6th year. Because he told man to be fruitful and multiply. No wonder the bread is doubled on the 6th day. Because he blessed man. Because all these things are interconnected. 18th verse.
In the 1st month on the 14th day of the month at even, I eat unleavened bread. Until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house.
In your house, even though you're going to Jerusalem, I still don't want to find nothing in your what?
Whoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land.
And how many times y'all got to say the verse?
You shall eat nothing leaven. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread.
He's just telling you, don't eat nothing leaven. Remove all the leaven out of your house. Why? Because this is a night to be observed. Exodus 13.
Said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, Yahweh brought you out from the place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten.
No leavened bread to be eaten, because why?
This came out in the month of Abib.
You came out in the month of Abib. This is the month you came out. So observe the month. But you don't observe it by having parties and that had nothing to do with the night. That should be much observed. You get all these celebrations in this month, and nobody's celebrating the night that we actually came out of Egypt. And just a couple more scriptures. That's all we got. It's important to understand because Yah giving you, he's giving you, and we're going to start at the 1st verse. He's giving you knowledge that even some of our people have. Watch what this says.
The covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel. land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that which Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh. Yeah, Yahweh has not.
If you understand these things, once you look back, like when you're going through things, you don't really have time to enjoy it. You don't have time to just reflect because you're going through it. But once it's all over, then you can look, my goodness, man, that was this what just happened to us. My goodness, that was this. That was a reflect on what really happened. And watch what it says. You're not even thinking about it. But now, they are 40 years down, man, look. Goodness.
Yeah, not eating bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink. That you might not, that you might know.
Than the Most High. They couldn't, you know, blame it on someone they got out there. Yeah, blame it on the alcohol. You know, what went down went down. It went down. And they didn't eat bread. You know, fool, I was sleepy, I was this, I was that. No, this is the Almighty wanted them to see and be able to remember and be able to reflect and see what are we memorializing that same thing. Now we can reflect and now we can recall and we can remember. Why? Because we're doing the same exact thing. You feeling the same effects that they're feeling when they came out of Egypt. They have no substances in their body to, you know, not when you truly get away to leaven, and then you read these scriptures, then you be like, my goodness, man, look what they did. They walked through the sea, minding the walls on this side. I love that Prince of Egypt. Love it. Because it shows that wall, and then it shows this whale, you know, under the water. And that takes imagination. That really went down. And that gave us a picture of something that to our people. That's why I love it. I look at it and I see it and I say, my goodness, this is righteous. God's awesome. And unfortunately, told enough truth for me. Real happy about it. And then watch what it says in Deuteronomy 8 chapter, because this is last scripture. And this scripture is real important. It's going to give you some insight on the Abib. This is going to give you some real good insight on the Abib. If you didn't understand nothing about the Abib, whether we look for
shall you observe to do that you may live and multiply? Thou shalt remember all the way which Yahweh thy Elohim led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not.
And I always wondered, I was always kidding, why they put wilderness? See, when you wilderness, you think of a forest. Because he didn't leave out here. You know, wild leaves, wild trees, wild plants, wild animals. That's what I'm thinking. Wilderness. The desert. But watch this. Continue reading.
And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. I need to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, thus man lives.
Yeah, we live by the word of Yah. We don't live by the Creator's word. Information, I want to know, but you got to Yah's what? If there is then we not even the car won't even start now. Cause you can't even show me. That's like somebody saying, well, I believe in JC. All right, that's good, it's okay. I want to believe in him too. Show me. I can't start the car. I can't even start the car. Now, if you can show me one place, now we got the car started. Now, show me, give me another witness. Give me something. Now, I'm not going to say you a lie, but I can say you just can't establish the truth. And if you can't establish the truth, you can't say it is the truth. The car, and then we can drive the car, and then we can go all over town with the car, and we can have fun in the car. Matter of fact, but watch this. Continue reading.
Chasteneth his son, so Yahweh thy Elohim chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of Yah thy Elohim. To walk in it. Yah thy Elohim brought the land. The pomegranates, the land of oil, olive, and honey, the land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass.
In other words, this is the best land anybody can have. No wonder everybody fighting over our land. Because this is the land. Go ahead.
When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless Yahweh the Elohim for the good land which he giveth thee. Beware that thou forget not Yah the Elohim, not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and thy heart be lifted up. Now forget Yahweh the Elohim, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
And you're going to forget him, everything start multiplying, then, you know, when things is good, you seem to what? Seem to forget where all this came from. Who's responsible? What the Most High said, forget, I brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the land. What say?
Who led the great and terrible wilderness.
Look, who led thee through the great and what?
Terrible wilderness.
And y'all don't understand how terrible this wilderness is, but he's about to describe it to you.
Where?
Man, this thing had fiery serpents. Y'all know what a serpent is, right? Fire. Now, water. You don't see our water. Fiery serpents. These people, and they go to the desert, and they eyes playing trick on them, and they go to reach. There's some food. Pow! Biting them and stinging them. Scorpions killing them. Our people was. Every time that a serpent struck them, they had to look at this little thing Moses, Yah told Moses to make. That little golden serpent Moses made just to heal the people. He put it up, and they look at it, and they'd be healed from it. They'd be healed. And little wicked people, now they put them in front of hospitals. But ain't nobody being healed. Look, and terrible what?
Wilderness.
Uh-huh.
Wherein were fiery serpents.
Fiery serpents.
And scorpions.
And scorpions.
And drought.
What's a drought? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? That's the only way they had water.
Wilderness with manna.
Because it was no food. All they had was manna for 40 years. It wasn't no food. It wasn't no water. It was no wheat. It was no eye. Go ahead.
Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. Now say in thy heart, my power, my might, my hand, that he may establish his covenant with thee, with which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day.
Yes, establish us to get wealth. He established us to get any and everything that we have. And that's what he wanted us to learn in the wilderness. This is what life is all about. It's all about, we only have one power. We just call that power Elohim. And it's Elohim, the one power, is the power source for everything in our life. Everything. And since he's the power source, we never be wise in our own what? We acknowledge him, and he was. He picked our past. All we have to do is trust him. That's all we have to do. And if we trust him and believe in him and know him, we're going to be directed. And y'all going to see everything we teach you is the truth. The whole truth. Now, and y'all be able to prove it. Just like tonight. To be much observed. So even when you go back home, you want to reflect. You want to read. They sung a beautiful song in the book of Exodus 15 about this night. Y'all want to read that. You want to read Exodus 14. All of it. You want to read Exodus 13. You want to read Exodus 12. You want to read Deuteronomy 16. Because all these great chapters signify the power and the greatness of the Most High, how the Creator, what he did for our people in Egypt. This is a night to be much observed. Questions? Any comments? Hallelujah. That I get. I don't know. You have to show me what you're talking about, because we got a lot of literature. When talking about. All right, well, let me check it out. Now, see, let me tell you, all the various calendars we have, you only should have one kind, and it's except for certain special people. I got a special gift for y'all, because if Yael tell y'all her gift, then y'all be mad at me, and I want nobody mad at me. I got to make sure. But really, you have one, and what this one does, it just strictly, it's just 100 strictly by the scriptures. Then we have one that other one is where the integrates with the Most High calendar. And that one's a, we're going to go over that. We're going to go over the weeks. We're going to go over the months. We're going to go over the years. It's more complex, but we're going to go over it nevertheless. And how we arrive or derive at certain dates. We're going to go over all that. And so you'll have some good information. Any other questions or comments? If there's no other questions, there's no other comments, let us rise. Just praise the Lord. Elohim of Rabaham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael. God's servants humbly come before thee on this great and glorious night, truly this beautiful night, the night, Almighty Yah, that thou hast delivered thy people with a stretched out arm. The mighty hand. The night, Almighty Yah, that much to be observed. And why, Yah? Because you are the Savior. None beside thee. There is none like unto, and there is none that can be compared. For you have raised a nation thyself. Even took a nation, a people, out of the land of another nation. And where in the history of it is recorded, where it is talked about, where it is even a rumor, was taken out of another nation by the Elohim of heaven. You did that with our fathers. Our ancestors. This is the history of Yah. And Yah, our Father, and that you would take us out of this land with a mighty and stretched out arm, even to that land flowed with milk and honey. And we know, Yah, that in order for us to receive that great blessing that thou hast even promised, that we must humble ourselves before thee, that we must seek thy, we must pray, and that we might even seek righteousness that we do tonight. These are the things that we do every day. These are the things we do, and these of things, Almighty Yah, we will do from this time forth and forevermore. We love you, Yah. We thank you, Yah. We honor you, Yah. And we worship you, Yah, from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yeah.